If you had to put a label on the state of things, it would have to be unstable, and instability is the last thing you want in retirement. Well, we created a Common Sense Retirement Roadmap to help stabilize our clients' future with guaranteed income, tactical portfolios to help with inflation, and we can show you the results of that. We've helped secure things for many of our clients. So go to csrp.info for an appointment, and remember, common sense is what defines us.
Securities offered through Madison Avenue Securities, LLC, NAS member FINRA/SIPC. Investing involves risk. All guarantees refer to insurance products which are backed by the claims-paying ability of the issuing company.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Insane Things Podcast. Let's dive right in to the seven most insane things that happened this week. The things you need to know. Things we've never seen before, or we haven't seen in the modern era. Okay, thing number seven. I guess when a Democrat's in office now, we should just assume all the stats put out by the federal government are fake, and that we'll find out what actually happened in about 2 years. As we've already learned, that's definitely true for jobs. The only bright economic spot the Democrats had going for them was job creation. Everything else about their economy was crap. Until it turned out the jobs were too. They were fake. 818,000 of them quietly revised away. They were never real. There was no jobs boom. They just had the Department of Labor, which keeps these stats, make it up. Folks, this was unprecedented. Yes, we've had revisions in the past of a few thousand jobs up, few thousand jobs down. But when Democrats are in office, jobs only go down in the revisions, and then by astronomical amounts. Well, apparently the crime stats work the same way. Folks, I'm beginning to think the only real purpose anymore for the existence of the FBI is to prop up Democrats' fortunes, lie for them, slander anybody who gets in their way, and if that doesn't work, indict them. It turns out that the FBI lied bigly. You can get a sense if you live in America just by watching your television that crime's up. But they said it wasn't. No, down 2.1% in 2022, which worked out great for the Democrats in the midterms. Yet, and no. It turns out they hid 80,000 violent crimes. So violent crime in the U.S. in 2022 under the Democrats actually increased by 4.5%. To engineer that, the FBI had to ignore a shocking, 80,000 violent crimes, including 1,700 murders, 7,700 rapes, 33,000 robberies, and 37,091 aggravated assaults. The publication Real Clear Investigations discovered this on the FBI website. They'd quietly just gone and changed the numbers. Again, why now? Because there aren't going to be any more debates before the election. They figured nobody would notice. Folks, this is the way the Soviet Union used to operate. This is why it became an international punchline, that you couldn't believe anything that they claimed. And folks, even though these aren't economic stats, these are crime stats, it underlines for world investors that when Democrats are in office, you simply can't trust any statistics provided by the government. You can't. Folks, eventually this is going to catch us. Better to invest in a more sane political environment like India. Insane thing number six. Kamala Harris's interview with Bret Baier, probably the only time in years she'll have to answer actual real questions. She arrived 15 minutes late, and after it became an absolute debacle, her staff cut it short after just 27 minutes. But at least she did it. Not that she should have, because here's what she'd sound like if we had an honest media and they asked her honest questions. Bottom line, pretty bad.
More than 70% of people, they say the country is on the wrong track. If it's on the wrong track,
That track follows 3.5 years of you being vice president and President Biden being president. That is what they're saying, 79% of them. Why are they saying that? If you're turning the page, you've been in office for 3.5 years.
And Donald Trump has been running for office.
But you've been the person holding the office.
Come on. Madam Vice President. You and I both know what I'm talking about. You and I both know what I'm talking about.
I actually don't. What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is that over the last decade, people have become. But listen, over the last decade, it is clear to me, and certainly the Republicans who are on stage with me.
She never does go on to answer the question because she can't. Insane thing number five. It's got to be that Kamala Harris skipped the Al Smith dinner. That's an annual roast that's world famous. People tune in because it's usually just so funny, where the candidates make fun of themselves and each other. Her Highness did not deign to attend to mingle among the serfs. And I call her Her Highness for exactly this reason. The last person who didn't show up was Walter Mondale 40 years ago. Everybody else has done it. Folks, if you can't hang at this dinner, how can you hang with world leaders? The answer is you can't. And folks, we're in the dating phase. I mean, that's what the election is. When she becomes president, she's never going to want to have anything to do with the American people. And even some American elites, again, she'll simply float above us like royalty. That's why I call her Her Highness. Anyway, that left Trump with the stage. And boy, did that go badly for Her Highness. The Catholics put this on as a fundraiser. They clearly didn't appreciate her absence. Here's Al Smith dinner host Jim Gaffigan.
President Biden couldn't be here tonight. The DNC made sure of that. I'm sorry, why is Vice President Harris not here? This is a room full of Catholics and Jews in New York City. This is a layup for the Democratic nominee. I mean, in her defense, I mean, she did find time to appear on The View, Howard Stern, Colbert, and the longtime staple of campaigning, the Call Her Daddy podcast.
On a serious note, though, what was so remarkable about this dinner is there's so much we don't speak out loud in America, the truest, realest things. And the cover of comedy sort of gave cover to do that. Again, this is a left-wing group, a left-wing crowd. And yet the host, knowing this was televised worldwide, actually called the imposition of Kamala Harris on the Democrat Party what it was, a coup.
The Democrats have been telling us Trump's re-election is a threat to democracy. In fact, they were so concerned of this threat, they staged a coup, ousted their democratically elected incumbent, and installed Kamala Harris.
That left Trump with total control of the floor, and Democrat leader Chuck Schumer, who was stuck next to him, to take the brunt of it.
Chuck Schumer is here looking very glum. Doesn't he look glum? He looks glum. But look on the bright side, Chuck, considering how woke your party has become. If Kamala loses, you still have a chance to become the first woman president.
Here's some more Trump.
If you really wanted Vice President Harris to accept your invitation, I guess you should have told her the funds were going to bail out the looters and rioters in Minneapolis, and she would have been here guaranteed. The last Democrat not to attend this important event was Walter Mondale, and it did not go very well for him. He lost 49 states. He was expected to do well, and it didn't work out. It shows you there is a God. I mean, for those people that are questioning it, it's really a pleasure anywhere in New York without a subpoena for my appearance. Anytime I don't get a subpoena, I'm very happy. Tradition holds that I'm supposed to tell a few self-deprecating jokes this evening. So here it goes. Nope, I've got nothing. I guess I just don't see the point of taking shots at myself when other people have been shooting at me.
This one is so bad, which is probably why it's my favorite.
There's a group called White Dudes for Harris. Have you seen this? White Dudes for Harris. Does anybody know? Are some of you here? White Dudes for Harris. Doesn't sound like it. But I'm not worried about them at all because their wives and their wives' lovers are all voting for me. Every one of those people is voting for me.
Insane thing number four. It turns out this whole time, about 30% of the border has been largely unmonitored. Because the border's so long, the U.S. relies on surveillance systems because Border Patrol agents couldn't possibly patrol it all. We now know, thanks to an internal Border Patrol memo, that 30% of the cameras, about 150 out of 500, simply don't work. What does that mean? The New York Post bottom-lined it this week. It means that the number of migrant gotaways is way more than reported. That's because about 10 million people have come over that border under Joe and Kamala as part of the border voter drive. We've been told that about 1.8 million of them are gotaways. We know that because of the detection systems. But if the detection systems, not 30% of the border, including some of its most traffic parts are really in between them, have not been working. Well, what is the real number? 15 million? 20 million instead of 10? Nobody knows, the New York Post reported. Now, once this story broke, somebody pointed out that in a hearing under oath, Alejandro Mayorkas, head of the Department of Homeland and Insecurity, was actually asked about this in a hearing in April. And it was pointed out to him that whistleblowers with the Border Patrol were saying that a lot of these cameras were broken. So he's known about this on the record anyway since about April and did nothing. Well, this, and here's your insane thing, this broke and the week that might not have been an accident and the cameras might not have been broken, just turned off. Here's Todd Pyro breaking this bizarre story on Fox News.
Listen to this. Members of the House GOP are demanding answers from DHS after whistleblowers say surveillance cameras in high traffic areas along the southern border have been offline. The source claims the FAA, yeah, that's right, the Federal Aviation Administration, is responsible for fixing the cameras, but the agency has been delegating the job out to non-U.S. citizens who, quote, may be physically manipulating the equipment. The Border Patrol union telling Fox News, quote, not only does this have an impact on the country by not knowing who or what is coming in, it also impacts the safety of the agents working the front lines.
What in the heck is going on in this country? I can't wait to get those details. Who is in charge of those cameras? Please tell me it's not China. Insane thing number three, Yahya Sinwar, head of the terror group Hamas, also the architect of October 7th, who was ultimately responsible for the murders of 43 U.S. citizens that day, is dead. Folks, this guy is an absolute brutal monster. If you read the New York Times about what happened on October 7th, beside the brutal murder of 1,200 innocent men, women, and children, some of whom were tied up and burnt alive, the thing that sticks in my mind the most about the brutality of October 7th was reported by the New York Times that it was also an attack of mass rape where they deliberately dislocated the leg hip joints of women so as better to mass rape them. This is the kind of thing Sinwar oversaw. He deserved to die. It's a shame it couldn't have been a lot longer and more painful like so many of his victims. But that's not the most insane thing. No, the most insane thing is how hard Kamala and Joe tried to save Sinwar and the leadership of Hamas, who were well known to be hiding out in Rafah. And why might he have been hiding out in Rafah? Sinwar probably thought it was a safe place after Kamala Harris, speaking on behalf of the Biden administration, threatened Israel with consequences if they entered Rafah to hunt Hamas. So, again, he probably thought it was pretty safe there. Turns out it wasn't.
We have been clear in multiple conversations and in every way that any major military operation in Rafah would be a huge mistake. Let me tell you something. I have studied the maps. It would be a mistake to move into Rafah with any type of military operation.
Are you ruling out that there would be consequences from the United States?
I am ruling out nothing.
Thankfully, no one in Israel takes Her Highness that seriously. But they must have died laughing in the Israeli cabinet when they heard this from Her Highness, in which she practically took credit for this guy going down, pretending she'd never forbidden Israel from going after him and the other Hamas leaders hiding in Rafah.
Today, Israel confirmed that Yahya Sinwar, the leader of Hamas, is dead. And justice has been served. And the United States, Israel, and the entire world are better off as a result. Sinwar was responsible for the killing of thousands of innocent people, including the victims of October 7 and hostages killed in Gaza. He had American blood on his hands. Today, I can only hope that the families of the victims of Hamas feel a sense of relief. Sinwar was the mastermind of October 7, a terrorist attack that killed 1,200 innocent people and included horrific sexual violence and more than 250 hostages taken into Gaza, including 7 Americans.
What a hypocrite! But folks, to really understand the sheer unadulterated evil of the Biden administration, remember last week's Battleground America podcast, where I asked you the question, Gaza is known to be very poor. Hamas, the terror group, is also their government. They elected them. So where are they getting this money for this year-long war with Israel? Remember, we learned the answer last week from Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. It's being funneled through U.S. aid, more than $1 billion. We know that because of the Inspector General's report that came out of U.S. aid. Inspector Generals are independent bureaucrats ensconced inside agencies, but they don't actually answer to the bosses at the agencies. They were able to determine that more than $1 billion of U.S. taxpayer money was given to Hamas charities that are essentially Hamas. Was this an accident? You tell me. The Inspector General says that they allowed the charities to self-report any connections to terror. Self-report. Yo, that's like, you call them up, hey, we got this $1 billion here to help you fight Israel. Yeah, yeah, I know, you're grateful. Hey, do you have any connections to terror? We know you're Hamas, but do you have any connections to terror? No, okay, cool. We'll send the check over. Folks, this is how they fund all our enemies. Remember that $1 billion that went to the Taliban? By the way, it's a billion now. Remember the $195 billion that has gone to Iran since Joe Biden lifted the sanctions and allowed all that oil money to flow again, including $16 billion in direct cash transfers? This is why Iran's on the march again. Folks, they not only hate Israel and are striving for a Middle East that's on fire, they're funding it. It wouldn't be happening without them. This is the level of evil we're talking about. But hey, it's a presidential election, so Kamala Harris is going to pretend that terrorists are bad and they should die, even though, again, they did everything they could to save Sinwar. They funded his war against Israel.
If you had to put a label on the state of things, it would have to be unstable, and instability is the last thing you want in retirement. Well, we created a Common Sense Retirement Roadmap to help stabilize our clients' future with guaranteed income, tactical portfolios to help with inflation, and we can show you the results of that. We've helped secure things for many of our clients. So go to csrp.info for an appointment, and remember, common sense is what defines us.
Securities offered through Madison Avenue Securities, LLC, NAS member FINRA SIPC. Investing involves risk. All guarantees refer to insurance products which are backed by the claims paying ability of the issuing company.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
And even forbade Israel from going in to get the leadership of Hamas. Insane thing number two. On September 27th, while the media was enthralled with the horror of Hurricane Helene and deep in the middle of the reporting on it, the Department of Defense quietly released a new memo authorizing it to use lethal force on American soil against Americans. Yeah. Why now, right before an election? Folks, I've spent a lot of time thinking about this, and this really scares me. I hope it's just nothing. I really do. But this directive expands the circumstances under which the Department of Defense can assist law enforcement. Okay, this directive, 5240, has been around since 2016. It's not new. But the directive has never allowed lethal force before. That was one of the changes. In 2016, it authorized it to operate on U.S. soil, the military, but only for intelligence gathering. This memo allows the military to basically take over and operate on U.S. soil in partnership with local, state, or federal law enforcement agencies in the circumstances of chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, and high-yield explosive incidents, and for civil disturbances. What's that about? Especially in a week where on Sunday we heard 60 Minutes report as if fact that there will be violence around the election, around election time, by Trump supporters. What's that about? I don't know. It's weird, but this is a sea change. We've never seen this before. It's scary. What's more, it fits a weird pattern. You know how the left always accuses us of whatever they're doing at the moment? What have they been saying, really, for the last week and a half, almost simultaneous to the release, very quiet. I mean, they didn't put a press release out. It was actually discovered on the Department of Defense website. What have they been saying for the last week and a half? Trump's going to use the military. Trump's going to use the military. He's going to use the military on our soil. He's a dictator. He's going to use the military. Yeah. For those of us who watch the news day in and day out, you know this. Whatever they're doing, they're always accusing us of. And exactly what kind of those events are they planning this deployment on U.S. soil in response to? And finally, insane thing number one. Having met exactly zero opposition to the idea of jailing Elon Musk for allowing Americans to have free speech, jailing him in France, where he's currently under criminal investigation. France, by the way, is insisting that they have the right to extradite him. Oh, and by the way, Donald Trump and Riley Gaines for trial. The British also insist they have the right to extradite Musk and Americans who say things that violate their speech laws for trial. And having met absolutely no opposition to that of any kind, folks, this is astonishing. Our Republican Speaker, Mike Johnson, has never spoken a word on that. Neither have my senators, Tim Scott or Lindsey Graham. They don't seem to care. Mitch McConnell really is more of a Democrat and also has nothing to say. Trump said something, but even the Democrats, the White House, I mean, folks, Europe is supposed to be our ally, right? There is no way they are announcing that they have the right and intend to extradite Elon Musk and U.S. citizens for trial on, you know, for things they say that are covered by the First Amendment. If the Europeans wouldn't be saying this, if they hadn't gotten assurances from the White House, from the Democrat Party, that this is what they want. In fact, I'm pretty sure that they're saying these things because the Democrat Party is trying to silence Musk ahead of the election and wanted them said. But what this shows you is we are headed, if we lose this election, I don't mean to scare you, but it's going to be bad. We are headed for world government based upon, united around the principle of ending free speech, most specifically free speech of Americans and free speech on American social media. I have an update on that that's just insane. The European Union has something called the Digital Services Act. I've been warning you about it on this podcast for a while. What it says is, if you don't allow Brussels bureaucrats to go into your platform and censor whoever they want, get rid of their accounts, these are all liberals, by the way, that you will be hit with 6% fine of your global revenues, not profits, revenue. So even if you're not making money, you're going to have to go into debt to pay it, right? Now, understand, the EU is not just demanding that Musk censor and take down accounts and tweets of Europeans. They're asserting the right to censor any account on X, including American accounts. Well, they've now just leveled this at Elon Musk, with the EU's bureaucrat in charge of censorship saying that because Musk has so much money, they might not just confine this to 6% of the revenues of X, that they might consider whether sales from SpaceX, Neuralink, XAI, and Boring Company, in addition to revenue generated by the X social network, should be included to determine potential fines against X. Now, they're doing what Brazil just successfully did. Because they couldn't get to Musk's X account, they took $3 million out of his Starlink funds. In other words, bank accounts. Okay, folks, again, the European Union would not, it's the European Commission of the European Union doing this, would not be doing this. By the way, the report was from Bloomberg. They broke the story. They would not be doing this without the express permission of the Democrat Party. You don't do this to an ally who spends billions for your defense. You don't spit in our faces with no complaint from the political class if you don't know you're protected. In other words, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, the people behind them, they want this. And if Donald Trump loses in less than 20 days, you're going to see a speech crackdown unlike anything that you have seen. They're afraid to show it to you before the election. You should know this too. Elon Musk tweeted a couple of months ago that Facebook, Instagram, Threads, YouTube and Google had already agreed to these terms. Okay, they haven't done the crackdown yet. It's coming. Everybody's waiting on X. So they're now saying, listen, we may go after all these revenues. Okay, now when I posted about this on Twitter, I had people commenting, oh, that can't be legal. You can't just go take that money. You can't, folks, again, they wouldn't be threatening to do it if they didn't have the green light. And if they didn't already know that Elon Musk, after having $3.3 million taken out of his account by Brazil, knuckled under completely, having conservative dissidents removed from Twitter for doing nothing but telling the truth about a stolen election in Brazil, silencing essentially what would amount to the leadership of the Republican Party, but in Brazil. So, folks, there's no guarantee that Musk doesn't knuckle under. In fact, I fully expect him to knuckle under, open a backdoor in X and allow them to, well, my account will be gone, if Donald Trump loses this election. He's not going to have a choice. He's not. He's at that point, he's trying to stay out of prison because Her Highness will extradite him. You will see Elon Musk extradited to Europe for trial with no pushback from the government of the United States under Kamala Harris. It'll be shocking, but it's coming. Trust me on that. She will. They wouldn't have threatened it otherwise. So folks, Donald Trump's got to win. And this is why this week, I don't know if you know this, Elon Musk was in Pennsylvania holding his own town halls. They were very well attended, in which he was warning, folks, this will be the last real election if Donald Trump doesn't win.
I think if there's four more years of sort of the Kamala sort of puppet regime, they're actually going to legalize so many illegals in the swing states that there won't be swing states anymore. And this will be the last election in that case. And we'll be a permanent one-party state like California. And you know, in California, which is mind-blowing, they passed a law banning voter ID for any election in California whatsoever. Now they're going to try to do that nationwide. In fact, if they can, they will do it nationwide. If the Dems win, they'll ban voter ID nationwide. So that's why I think if Trump doesn't win, this is the last election. Yeah, thank you.
Once you understand the background here of what Bloomberg just reported about the EU, you understand why he's taking time from running these all-important, very successful businesses to go on the ground and personally campaign. Because as he said last week in an interview with Tucker Carlson, they're going to put me in prison if she wins. I might not see my kids again. He's not wrong. Again, as we've detailed on this podcast, the SEC is currently pursuing its second criminal case against Musk, and they can always extradite him and Heck, the entire right-wing political punditry of the United States. I'm sure the Democrats would be happy to see us go. But as Zero Hedge pointed out, if Trump wins, this can go in a very different direction. Exporting free speech and a level of freedom to the world that the world has literally never seen. Here's the line they wrote about this. This lawfare shows just how desperate Democrats have become, and that's because if Trump wins, X becomes the primary source of news and narratives, which would entirely displace legacy MSM. Folks, I would argue that's already happening, because if you're on X and if you're not, you can't see it. If you're on X, whatever trends on X, say, on Monday, makes the rounds and then dies down by Wednesday, like Fox News, Newsmax, Breitbart, they're not even picking it up till Friday. And the mainstream media gets it the next week. Why? X isn't just reporting the news that nobody else will. It's setting the agenda. Because something gets so many hits, they're forced to cover it. Folks, it's a level of freedom we've never seen. This works great in America. But think about it, how it works in villages in Pakistan that aren't free, in places in Africa that aren't free and can't shut it down. Oh my gosh, it gives me chills to think of the freedom we could export. We could literally make the First Amendment our chief export of freedom to the world, an export of freedom unlike anything we've been ever able to send. The two futures are so starkly different. Pray for the second one, and then you need to go out and vote. You need to, I don't care if you have to take the day off from work. I don't care. You need to go vote. And you also need to get uncomfortable. You need to text everyone you know who supports Trump, maybe even far-flung family members you haven't talked to in a while. And that always feels weird. Look, I've already done it. I've texted folks I haven't talked to in years, and I'm bugging them. Vote, 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 vote. Why? Because they're in swing states. They're in Georgia. They're in North Carolina. Folks, if Trump can win Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia, it's over. He's the president. If you know anyone in Wisconsin, Nevada, Arizona, if you've got family there, Michigan, you need to get in touch with them, even if you haven't talked to them for a while, if they're Trump supporters. Think, who do you know? Who is that friend from high school who posts that pro-Trump stuff every once in a while? Why not contact her and see about voting? By the way, if you're wondering how to tell them to do that, because some of these folks might not be registered, where do you go to vote early? Find out by going to swampthevoteusa.com. That's swampthevoteusa.com. You can find out where early voting is in any state. And there's still some states like North Carolina that will allow you to register during early voting. Again, swampthevoteusa.com. Send that little link to everyone you know and pray.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
If you had to put a label on the state of things, it would have to be unstable, and instability is the last thing you want in retirement. Well, we created a Common Sense Retirement Roadmap to help stabilize our clients' future with guaranteed income, tactical portfolios to help with inflation, and we can show you the results of that. We've helped secure things for many of our clients. So go to csrp.info for an appointment, and remember, common sense is what defines us.
Securities offered through Madison Avenue Securities, LLC, NAS member FINRA SIPC. Investing involves risk. All guarantees refer to insurance products which are backed by the claims paying ability of the issuing company.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.